From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. On steamy summer nights, thousands of people from all over the country come to a small basketball court in the heart of Harlem. They crowd around the asphalt to see the run-and-gun behind the back, above the rim, the in-your-face brand of street ball that put this court on the map.
Oh, Black Fancy! Oh, baby, we got a ball game! We got a ball game!
For almost five decades, the summer tournament here at Rucker Park has attracted some of the best hoops talent in the world. Rucker is a stage where local playground legends and pros from the big leagues mix it up and dazzle the crowd. Their play on this court has been called the best basketball that money can't buy. This year's tournament wraps up this week. The championship game is tomorrow night. Surrounded by housing projects, the Tidy Park is transformed into a pulsing street theater with packed crowds, television crews, and corporate banners.
15 minutes, and this game is in the books.
Today's tournament is a far cry from the summer leagues launched half a century ago by Holcomb Rucker. Rucker was a parks director for New York City, who created this competition to steer promising talent away from the tough streets of Harlem. Rucker recruited the best streetball players throughout the city, and his tournament quickly became the blueprint for hoops leagues throughout the nation. In the 1960s, he began inviting pros from the NBA to spend their idle summer months sharpening their game by sparring with the top-ranked amateurs from the neighborhood, upstarts like Connie Hawkins.
I started playing with the pros when I was in high school. We actually played against Wilt Chamberlain and Russ Cunningham and Cal Ramsey used to play with the Knicks, and we used to have some real good games.
You were playing Wilt Chamberlain when you were in high school?
Yes, I did.
That's amazing.
Well, it was amazing that I didn't get killed. That's what was amazing about it.
Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, Julius Erving, among the pros who came to Rucker to do battle with players whose moves were as colorful as their names. Joe the Destroyer Hammond, Herman Helicopter Knowings, Earl the Goat Manigault, and Connie Hawkins, known as the Hawk for his fierce play under the net. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar only played in the tournament once, but he returned year after year as a spectator because the play was so spectacular.
All the people who really knew the game would be there, and all the best urban players, they would be there. You know, it was kind of like the little guys against Goliath, and they held their own.
It was just incredible. I mean, awe-inspiring moves and the overflow crowds. Really, it was just an unbelievable time. It was really the golden era of basketball in New York.
Vincent Milazzi has written a new book called Asphalt Gods, which tells the history of the Rucker Tournament, how the games in a park just off 155th Street became a national phenomenon.
It's just a tiny park, you know, it can only fit maybe, I would say, a few hundred people, but there are thousands of people pouring in and people pressing their nose against a chain link fence, three, four, you know, rows of people, cars triple parked out there on 7th Avenue, ladies selling fried chicken outside the park, guys cooking up Mickey's or sweet potatoes. You know, it was a real sight to behold with professional players running around and guys, again, waiting around to make their name against these guys if they could. And the few who did, they're still talked about in Harlem, you know, in barrooms and social clubs and gymnasiums till this day.
Connie Hawkins was one of those legends, a powerful rebounder from Boys High in Brooklyn, who, like many, went on to play in the NBA. The Hawk told us about one game that has become the stuff of legend. It was the summer of 1962. The Brooklyn All-Stars, led by the Hawk and Jumpin' Jackie Jackson, took on Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain's all-pro team.
Wilt was very famous on taking this fadeaway jump shot. I mean, he would play on the left side of the box, and every time he would get the ball, he would fake left and turn right and shoot the ball real high off the top of the backboard, and it would go in. So we decided we were going to overplay Wilt. We said, yeah, that would be a fun thing to do. So we did it. Russ Cunningham came down with the ball. He passed it to Tom Sanders. Tom passed it into Wilt. Wilt faked, and when he turned to shoot the ball, he shot the ball high off the backboard. Well, out of nowhere comes Jackie Jackson from the weak side. He goes up and traps the ball at the very top of the backboard. Boom.
Both Connie and Jackie dunked on Wilt in the first half, I mean, in his face.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was in the audience. He remembers what many Rucker fans simply call the moment.
It drew such a response from the crowd, you know, like, whoo, did you see that? It was like time stopped. while people savored it, because it was, like, incredible.
Everybody was screaming and yelling and jumping up and down, and it was really exciting. But for some reason, I had this eerie feeling, and I turned and looked, and Wilt was staring, just staring at me, just staring down. It was like that. I said, oh, gosh, I think we got the big fella mad.
I wasn't close enough to see his face, but I could read his body language. He was embarrassed. And Wilt kind of rose to another level of competition. And then the second half, he got all the rebounds. Nobody could get any second shots or any shots around the basket. He blocked those. Wilt just took over the game.
Wilt did dunks that I've never seen before in my life. I mean, somebody took a shot, he went and dunked it. He got the ball and faked and dunked it. And one time he dunked the ball so hard, it went down and bounced over this 15-foot fence. And the whole crowd went crazy. And back then, there wasn't high fives. People just yelling and jumping out of the window, just doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
For the locals, the Rucker was a place to make their name, to strut their stuff before basketball's titans. For the pros, Rucker was a laboratory, a test kitchen to cook up slick new moves. Now remember, this was a time when slam dunks and behind-the-back passes and showboat style were not yet a part of the NBA's repertoire. Writer Vince Malazzi says Rucker helped many pros improve their game.
Julius Erving, who I call in the book, he is the Michael Jordan of the bell-bottom generation. He credits playing in the Rucker tournament for helping him excel as a pro, because he said it was that freedom that he gained in the park that gave him the confidence to soar to higher places. And when he got to the NBA, he was just doing things that made him the world's, you know, preeminent basketball player.
Which is interesting, because play in the NBA at the time was slower paced. It was certainly not as colorful as we see today. The real action was there on the playground.
Exactly, and Julius and many other guys, they changed that slower-paced, sort of stiff game that was being played at the pros and in the collegiate level, really, that was really a coach's game, and they sort of really made it more of a player's game, an artistic game. All the moves came from the pages of their own imagination, not from a playbook that some coach drew up. You know, Dr. J said he wondered if he had had that freedom in college, if he wouldn't have been a better collegiate player.
It's hard to imagine him being any better than he was.
Yeah, I mean, and again, this was the guy who put the Rucker tournament on the map. The league was around from the 50s, but when Julius Erving got to the park, his run, I believe, was from 70 to 75. He's the guy that all the unknowns wanted to come out and play against. You know, everyone wanted to sort of be in his orbit. And in the book, he calls it a bone-chilling experience for a player of that magnitude. To be that awed by the competition and the surrounding really says a lot about the whole happening that Rucker Park was in that era.
And I was just going to get there. The man behind all this was Holcomb Rucker. What kind of person was he?
Holcomb Rucker was a guy who, he grew up in poverty, in a single-family home in Harlem. He was a basketball star at Benjamin Franklin High School, went off to the Army. When he got back, he had an idea to help keep kids off the same streets that he had survived on. And he landed a job at the Parks Department. And so that sort of gave him an opportunity to stage his little tournament, which really began as this little playground thing that he creates. One basketball, one whistle, he's the referee. And wherever he gets stationed by the Parks Department, that's where his tournaments are held. And then in 1955, he gets a permanent spot at 155th Street, and that's where the tournament is still run today. But Rucker was a guy who spent 15, 16 hours a day in that park, and people, you know, respected the man, and many of the players talk about how they owe their careers to him, and not just basketball players. Many of the kids he helped tutor when they were young, you know, ended up becoming doctors and lawyers and teachers and many professional people, so he touched a lot of lives in the short time that he was on the earth.
On page 76 of your book, you quote from an obit after he died.
Okay. This is Howie Evans, who is the sports editor of the Amsterdam News. Yes, Holcomb Rucker was burdened with the weight of Harlem, a Harlem so heavy with frustration that all of your Adam Powells, James Farmers, Malcolm X's, etc., had barely gotten it off the ground. Yet somehow, you can say Holcomb Rucker did as much or even more than all the others combined in his one-man crusade to bring Harlem an image of respectability and decency. What Holcomb Rucker has begun must not be interrupted. The foundation is solid. The die has been cast. It remains for us to continue so that all that has taken place will not have been in vain. No finer tribute could be given to Holcomb than the one of knowing his baby tournament, Rucker's, is growing bigger and better every summer.
And what has become of the Rucker tournament today?
Well, through the early 80s, NBA salaries really started to escalate. And what happened was some of the players were afraid of damaging a knee or an ankle on the asphalt and losing out on the big NBA money. So many of the pros started to disappear. What happened then was a fellow named Greg Marius, a New York guy who was a rapper at the time, decided, you know, he was going to keep Holcomb Rucker's vision alive and slowly built the tournament back up. The Rucker Tournament, it's called the EBC, the Entertainers Basketball Classic. The games are played in Rucker Park, so there's still that mystique. The games are still played on that windswept, hollowed stretch of blacktop that became famous throughout the years. But now there are coaches roaming the sidelines like P. Diddy and Master P and Jay-Z, and the NBA players are still coming out, but not as often as they once did.
I wonder what Holcomb Rucker would think of the tournament as it's evolved.
Well, a couple of the players told me that he wouldn't recognize it anymore, because where he once, you know, had a tournament that was really competitive basketball, the kind of basketball that brought scores of college coaches and professional scouts to the parks to recruit these guys right off the blacktop, is more or less an exciting tournament today with probably less of a stage in terms of guys making the leap from the playgrounds to the pros. So I don't know if he'd recognize it so much, but I know he'd be awful proud of the fact that the people are still coming out in droves on hot summer nights in Harlem. Just the fact that it got that far really is a tribute to Holcomb Rucker and what he had created, that it was able to blossom and flower like that in Rucker Park.
Vincent Milazzi, it's been a pleasure talking with you.
Michelle, thank you for having me. It's been great.
Vincent Milazzi is the author of Asphalt Gods, an oral history of the Rucker Tournament. We also heard from Connie Hawkins and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The tournament at Rucker Park can now be seen on television, but there's little footage and few pictures from the glory days. Instead, the memories live on in the players' and the viewers' imaginations. One player, Frank Shake and Bake Streety, who went on to fame with the Harlem Globetrotters, did commit his playground magic to memory. He shared his recipe with the writer Vince Milazzi.
Use two full servings of between the legs dribbling, toss in one behind the back dribble, left to right, toss in one behind the back dribble, right to left, a touch of head bob, a quick dash of shuffling feet, and a large dose of hesitation dribble. Sprinkle a smattering of crossover dribbles until your opponent is good and red in the face. Spin 360 degrees once, twice to make sure your opponent is completely cooked. Stick a fork in your opponent. He's done.